Blog Talk Welcome Radio. Back.
Welcome back to Knowing Christ Ministries here on Blog Talk Radio. For the last month or so, we've been talking about putting on the full armor of God, as that is the sole defense that we have given by God to us to protect us from all the spiritual warfare that is going on in our lives, whether personal life and certainly globally in the world today. It's been a wild couple months going through this series. And I've certainly talked about an awful lot in the last four shows. Today, I'm probably going to use up every minute of our last, of the 30 minutes that we have today, doing a very, very brief summary. But then I want to concentrate as much as possible on discussing how to put on the armor of God, and then leave you with a final devotional before we sign off today. So the pieces of the farm, just in summary, the full armor of God, and it is essential that you put on the entire armor of God. We talked about this in more detail in the first episode, and it's worth repeating. You absolutely must put on each of the seven parts. Paul only talks about six. I added the seventh that's mentioned in Scripture elsewhere, the cloak of zeal. But you have to put everything on. You can't just say, oh, I think I can go without the breastplate. I feel pretty good today. No. Everything is contingent upon working together. We've been given all the tools by God, and by gosh, it's up to us to use them all, because certainly we leave one aside, and that's a foothold for spiritual warfare to get at us, because we're not fully equipped. It's like a soldier going into battle. Well, it is a soldier going into battle without all of his full uniform and all of his artillery. It's not going to be effective. So you won't be effective in your fight against spiritual warfare. So anyway, the full armor of God is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Those are all the six things that Paul mentioned in Ephesians for the armor of God. I've added the cloak of zeal because that's also mentioned in Scripture. And as I talk about it, talked about it late in more detail last week, but certainly as I summarize today, you'll see why that was added. So without going into a whole lot of detail on any of them, I'm just going to whiz through so that we can concentrate on the on how to put on the armor of God and that final devotional. So the belt of truth is the foundational piece of armor. It's the first piece of armor that's put on, and other pieces are contingent upon that being on and secure, not just put on, but securely put on. For example, the breastplate of righteousness hooks into that. The sword of peace, that dagger that we've talked about, not a huge sword, but the 6 to 8 inch dagger, is tucked in the belt. So that belt is extremely important. The belt of truth, it's the belt of truth. It represents the truth of Scripture as God's word. It represents living a life of integrity and honesty, and it represents total commitment and zeal for Jesus Christ. Bottom line, the belt of truth represents knowing the content of truth as revealed in Scripture. What does John 17, verse 17 say? Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Then we have the breastplate of righteousness. I'm talking too fast here. It symbolizes the recognition of the imputed righteousness of Christ. And it represents guarding our minds and emotions as well. And this is key for the breastplate of righteousness, because it guards your heart. From a physical location, a breastplate in armor is going to guard the vital organs. Well, from a scriptural standpoint, we need it to guard our heart in order to live righteously. Christ took our sin and replaced it with his righteousness, and that needs to be our, we need to live a righteous life if we're to be protected from Satan's attacks. And so we don the breastplate of righteousness. And again, if we, well, this is going to get into other stuff, so never mind. The next item was the shoes of peace, which represents the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And it's key to know that the shoes of peace enabled our sure-footedness. Well, a wrong view of God undermines that sure-footedness. So we need to have that readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And more than anything, the readiness, which is what the spikes enable us to hold our ground and move forward at a moment's notice, essentially, because the readiness comes with spreading the gospel. And again, as I said, sure-footedness to be able to move forward in battle, providing them with the means to be prepared and ready. So what about the shield of faith? The shield of faith represents God's trust, or our trust in God's personhood. It protects us from, you know, technically when the enemy shoots flaming arrows at us, he shoots aim, if that were the real world back in the Roman times, the enemies often shot flaming arrows and the soldiers would hold up their shield and that would be their protection. Well, what does Satan do? Satan shoots arrows at criticism, fear, covetousness, anger, depression, doubt, lust, and every other temptation. But the shield of faith is what we use to repel those. It represents trust in God's personhood. We know his character. And the shield of faith also refers to dependence on the body of Christ, the church, so that we can interlock our shields and protect our neighbor as we're protecting ourselves. Joined together, it becomes a shelter. Now, technically, the last item that a soldier puts on when they're donning their armor is the helmet of, is their helmet. We have the helmet of salvation given to us by the Lord for our spiritual warfare. Well, in warfare, the enemy commonly attack the head, since the soldier's mind controls his decisions and reactions in the fight. To harm the head was to gain an advantage in combat. Well, spiritual warfare is exactly the same. Our mind controls our decisions and reactions from a spiritual standpoint. So the helmet of salvation represents assurance of salvation and of future salvation. As Paul calls the helmet of future salvation in 1 Thessalonians, actually. So remember, it's a protective helmet for us from God to protect our minds from the discouragement and despair of the world. It's extremely, extremely critical that we remember that. Okay, the sword of the Spirit. For the word of God is living and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So that tells us a whole lot about the sword. As soldiers in God's army, it's our responsibility and duty to use his word to discern the truth and then follow it. When God's word shows us something wrong in ourselves, we can use the spiritual weapons to surge we can use the sword of the Spirit to literally, surgically remove the offending thoughts and actions. How cool is that? I mean, it really is. And like I said, what's interesting about this, and we went into detail the other week, this is the only defensive tool. The others were really uniquely designed for both defense and offense. But the Sword of the Spirit is really a defensive tool. It's the only way we can complete the work we have been given to do. And as I said, remember, the Greek word that was used represents a dagger of 6 to 8 inches, which is much easier to tuck and then grab by the soldier for hand-to-hand combat for that most important part. So remember, there's no enemy, the Word of God coupled with His Spirit, that can't be defeated. That's why we only need one weapon. This way we can fight our battles head on. Now, I added the cloak of zeal because with zeal, that's the motivation. Just as a soldier without his cloak would find himself demotivated and unable to operate at his peak, so we soldiers of Christ can quickly find ourselves unable to operate at our peak unless we're fueled by zeal. You can have the best armor in the world. Think of yourself as a soldier. You've got all the artillery, you've got the best, the most up-to-date and secure armor. But if you really don't give a rip, you're not going to be effective. You're not going to be marching with your fellow soldiers. You're not going to be taking care of yourself. You're not going to be taking care of anyone else. And you're not guarding your heart, which is the whole key in spiritual warfare. That's why you have got to be zealous for the Lord. That is so, 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 so critical. Only with zeal are you going to have the passion to do God's will and live according to His purpose. Let me repeat that. For Christians, zeal is a burning desire to do God's will and to live according to His purpose. So if you're fueled by the desire to do God's will and live according to His purpose, all the rest of the armor that you put on is going to be as protective and help guard you and others from spiritual warfare. So let's talk about how to put on the armor of God. There's a bunch of strategies, and if you think about it, it's really, really key knowing how to put on the armor of God. The reason being, I think unless we concretely in our minds or even going through arbitrary and, you know, physical, tangible motions of putting on something, maybe you're alone when you're getting dressed and no one else can see, and then after you've got your regular clothes on, you put on each piece of the armor of God as if you're actually physically, tangibly putting it on. Then you know concretely that you have it on. Because I think too often Christians who are very devout believers go, oh, well, I've got the armor of God on me all the time. It's there. And you just kind of take it for granted that it's there without tangibly knowing each piece and purpose of what you have to use. It's just like a soldier. You need to be trained to know what piece of artillery is appropriate for what fight. And I think that's what we need to know as we consciously are aware of each of the pieces of armor that we have to be able to fight effectively from a spiritual warfare standpoint. So it's really, really key to put on the full armor of God. And as I said, we're going to talk about some strategies today, and then I'm going to end with the a devotional that's actually prayers related to each part. So just bear with me. Some strategies. Start the day in the Word and in prayer, asking God for His help and strength throughout the day. Memorize Scripture to keep your sword sharp. Saturate yourself in the Bible. Remember, God's Word is truth that fights against the father of lies. Ask the Holy Spirit for help in putting on the armor and using the Sword of the Spirit. And this is an interesting one next. Analyze the schemes of the enemy and how, when, and where he's attacked in the past. This way you can develop a good strategy for moving forward. Anticipate the flaming arrows of the enemy and practice using your shield and sword to fight them. This next one's really important. Always, always, always be watchful and vigilant. You can't get comfortable. You're always on duty as a soldier in the Christian life. Your armor doesn't naturally stay on if you aren't continually renewing your mind. Consistently remind yourself of your lack of strength and your need to cast yourself on God's strength. Remember, you may feel completely defeated. Let him carry you because you're not defeated. He's given you the tools. You may not have the strength and you may feel depleted, but there's a big difference between being depleted and defeated. God will carry you. Jesus will carry you when you don't have the strength. And this next is really important, especially looking at the world around us, and you just think people are just getting more insane and more harmful and more dangerous from every corner. I need to remember this too. I need to highlight this one. Remember, people are not your enemy, but rather the rulers against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, as Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It's not people, but spiritual warfare. It's Satan using people to further his gain, not God's. This next one is also kind of interesting. Brainstorm the lies you have believed about a certain issue and write them on a sheet of paper in one column. Then in the next column, write the corresponding biblical truth. Meditate on this, think about it, pray on this, and practice fighting off lies that you're going to encounter. Those are just some tools and techniques. And then here's the thing I wanted to really get into, and this is about, on my paper it's about 4 pages, but it'd be about 3 if you want it. And please always feel free to email me at info@knowingchristministries.com, and I will be happy to give you a hard copy of this. This is about purposely putting on the armor of God with the prayer and devotional, like I've said. And I'm actually going to set up a challenge. And if, for any of you who want to, you know, pick it up, that's great, because I'm going to do this myself. Go through and do this devotional, do these prayers every single day, every morning. Equip yourself with the armor of God purposefully. For 1 week. And then after a week, take a look at how that past week went. I almost guarantee that it will be a better week for you, that you will have felt more equipped. And as a result, there will be less spiritual warfare that will make you feel depleted. You actually may have a harder time from a spiritual warfare standpoint because you're so well equipped. And you are called to move forward in battle. But I think you're going to find yourself having more wins than losses. We're not going to lose this war, people. It's each battle that's going to be a problem. So, like I say, I think the rest of your walk is going to be amazing. But even more than comparing the battles and the warfare, compare how you felt. Compare your strength in Jesus and the rest of your walk with and zeal for the Lord. Because I also think you're going to feel more zealous for him, more passionate. Because, again, you're immersing yourself in what he's given you to survive. So anyway, let's go on. Starting out, dear Lord, I'm weak, but you make me strong with your mighty strength. I put on the whole armor of God so that I can stand against the schemes of the devil. I remind myself today that I do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but with unseen evil powers. With your armor on, I can withstand the destructive plans of the spiritual forces of evil and stand firm against deceptions and temptations. I put on the belt of truth by meditating on Scripture day and night, so I will not sin against God and succeed in all I do. I will depend on the Holy Spirit to lead me in truth, so I am not deceived. I humbly yield my mind to the truth of God's word and resist the devil's temptations to sin through my deceitful, corrupt desires. and these all these prayers have scriptural references. For example, this last one references Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Psalm 119, verse 11, James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. I put on the breastplate of righteousness and receive forgiveness for my sins that I may practice righteousness and do God's will. I will seek to please God in reverent fear, knowing I will stand before Him to give an account of the good or evil I do while in the flesh. This comes from Acts chapter 10, verse 43, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and chapter 2, verse 22, John, verse 9, verse 31, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, being prepared to be at peace with everyone and in every situation. Even when people don't meet my expectations, I put off the spirit of pride and walk as God walks in humility, love, compassion, and respect for others. I will share my testimony of hope and encourage everyone I can to love and trust in Jesus Christ, who gives me peace. This is from Romans chapter 12, verses 16, or references Romans chapter 12, verses 16 and 18. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, Proverbs verse 16, chapter 16, verse 18, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 15. I put on the helmet of salvation, and I take every temptation, thought, offense, and unholy desire captive, and make it submit to the lordship of Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Christ and authority to overcome every obstacle to my faith, and I will forgive offenses quickly so the devil doesn't get a foothold in my mind to produce a fleshly desire to be angry, impatient, and unkind. I will renew my mind with the truth in God's word daily. Boy, howdy do I have to work on that one. That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, and James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. I take up my sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, to strike down every temptation, to yield to my pride and deceitful fleshly desires. I will disciple my pride to memorize Bible verses and practice them to strengthen and sharpen my sword. And I yield to the Holy Spirit's control and guidance over my thoughts. Again, referencing Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 10, and John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. I take up my shield of faith to block the fiery arrows of condemnation, accusation, temptation, doubt, and flattery of the enemy. I believe that God loves me, cares about me, and is my shield that protects me from evil. I will strengthen my faith by meditating on Scripture day and night. This is it from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 6. 5, verse 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, and Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And lastly, I put on the cloak of zeal so that no matter what the enemy throws my way, my zeal and passion for the Lord Jesus Christ will never diminish. My passion and faith for Jesus will be a beacon that shines forth from my whole countenance to let all others see the grace, mercy, and love of Jesus in me. I pray my passion draws others to Him. And I am prepared to be victorious today by the grace of God and in His strength. So we're going to wrap this up quickly. I know I sped through this very, very quickly. If anyone wants a transcript of this, I'm happy to provide it. Just let me know again at info@knowingchrist.com. If any of this sounds like there's areas of your life you need to work on, I always ask you to pray for His help in turning away whatever that you're dealing with, whether it's sin and the need to repent, or just ask Jesus to help bring you to your attention any areas that could be hidden or maybe you've forgotten about. Just pray. If you need any help, as I've said, in reference to putting on the armor of God or any of the pieces of the armor, Again, please contact me at info@knowingchrist, and I'll be glad to help in any way I can. And please remember, you need to be able to put on the whole armor of God, not just parts. So if there's something blocking you from putting on a specific garment we talked about, just pray for his help. And as always, contact me. So that brings us to the end of our show. For more information or to contact us, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com. I encourage you to visit our Facebook page and like us in order to stay abreast of our announcements. I also have a ministry page on MeWe under the same name, Knowing Christ Ministries. And I also encourage you to follow us on Blog Talk Radio so that you're notified of each new broadcast as well. Blog Talk has a full archive of our shows of 10 years now. So I encourage you to take the time to review our full listing. And if a title or series looks like something the Lord's leading you to at any given time, please listen. So until next time, when we're going to discuss reading through the Bible in a year versus maybe studying a book of the Bible for a year or a chapter of the Bible for a year. It's going to be a real interesting discussion. I assure you that. But all of it is to help you help assure that you and I are rapture ready. So this is Dr. Danielle West reminding you it's not what you know, but who you know. For Knowing Christ Ministries, I wish you a blessed day, and I thank you for listening.